Can open your Bibles up to Proverbs. We're going to end up at Proverbs 14. 29 is where we're going to start, but it's going to take a little while to get there because there's a lot to cover. Have you ever been in a conflict with someone and you weren't sure what to do? Maybe you were not sure how to actually resolve that conflict. Years ago, my two oldest daughters were probably around 8 years old and 6 years old. My six-year-old daughter, Sarah Evelyn, came to me. I was talking to my wife. I think we were downstairs. And she came, and she was kind of exasperated at Emily, the eight-year-old. I don't know what Emily was doing, singing or talking loudly or whatever was agitating to Sarah Evelyn. And Sarah Evelyn came to me with that, and I said, "Sweetie, you need to ignore her." But what Sarah Evelyn heard was, "Sweetie, you need to annoy her." So she goes upstairs, and within a few seconds, I hear yelling. And I'm like, that didn't go well, that parenting moment. And so I go up, and I'm like, "Sarah, what are you doing?" She said, "You said to annoy her." So I just went, "Emily, Emily, 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 Emily." And she did what she thought her dad said. That was a failure. My hope today is to communicate a little better about handling conflict than I did years ago with my two oldest daughters, because this is an important topic, and we all know it is, because we know some things about conflict. First, we know we live in a fallen, broken world, and conflicts between sinners are going to happen. Friends, conflicts are going to happen. Secondly, we know from Scripture that God is for us in learning through these conflicts. Friends, we've got to know that and be aware of these are going to happen. We need to know how to handle them. So as you possibly think about a past conflict or a present conflict, or you see a conflict on your horizon today, we want to learn from God's word. God's word addresses us. We want to consider conflict, whether it's with a spouse or a kid or parents or siblings or coworkers or church friends or neighbors. We want to consider conflict the way God tells us to. And the book of Proverbs tells us how to live wisely, to walk wisely in a foolish world. And there are tools of the Spirit that we want to walk out, not tools of the flesh. And Proverbs talks about both of those. We want to face conflict with wisdom and not foolishness. So friends, conflicts are coming, but how will we handle them? Proverbs gives us tools. Now, as we've studied Proverbs for the last several months, the first 9 chapters we covered verse by verse. And that's kind of how you can look through Proverbs 1 through 9. You can just read through it, and it kind of makes sense as it flows. Then Proverbs 10 through 31, the statement before doesn't always relate to the statement after, and it kind of goes back and forth a lot. So as we've been studying that, we're studying more topic by topic, and today we're talking about conflict, anger and peace and things like that. And here are the tools. I'm going to lay them out for you, and these are what we're going to talk through today. Be slow to anger. Plan for peace. Be aware of stirring up strife. Those are the major themes in the book of Proverbs when it comes to conflict. So let me pray for us again to heed God's word as we dive into these tools. Lord, help us. Lord, we need your help. I need your help desperately. Lord, help us to use the tools of the Spirit and not the tools of the flesh in whatever conflicts are in our mind as we even consider this topic. In Jesus' name, amen. First point, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Now, before we dive into that passage in Proverbs chapter 14, we need to note that all anger is not bad. Scriptures talk about righteous anger. Even God gets angry. There's a scripture that says, be angry and do not sin. So what is righteous anger? We need to understand that. Well, we can have anger toward abortion or sex trafficking or other forms of evil that are inappropriate. What it is getting upset. Righteous anger is getting upset that God is not being obeyed. God is not being glorified. God is not receiving glory. But anger that is sinful is when we get upset that we aren't receiving glory. You see the difference? Righteous anger is where we're getting a little agitated that God's not receiving the glory he's due. People are not obeying God. But sinful anger is when we are not receiving glory. We are getting mad. Our wills are not being done, so we start boiling in our heart. And I believe sinful anger is way more common in life than the righteous anger in this fallen world. Proverbs is looking at that common sinful anger. That's what is being addressed much today in the passages we'll look at. And we are to be slow towards sinful anger. James 1, 19 and 20, many of us have read this before. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." Get that. James is talking to Christians. "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Friends, that's a great passage. I encourage you to memorize that passage. But where does James get this advice from? Proverbs. James, in the New Testament, he's the half-brother of Jesus. He gets this from Proverbs. James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament. Let's look at that original advice. Proverbs 14, 29. "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Then Proverbs 16, 32, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Friends, we're to be slow to anger. It's better to be slow to anger than winning a battle and taking a city. Commentator Ray Ortland says that you can win a battle in a day or a week. You can take a city over in a month and besiege a city. But to be slow to anger takes a lifetime. To learn how to be slow to anger, that shows wisdom. That shows trusting God, fearing God, which is the beginning of wisdom. That shows maturity, Christian maturity. There's a high value in the scriptures, especially in Proverbs, about being slow to anger. Proverbs 15, 18. "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." Who is slow to anger quiets contention. And guys, notice, it talks about a hot-tempered man. Now, I don't think anger is only a male thing, but I do know many a man, me included, who have struggled in this particular area with anger. I've heard many a guy say, "Well, I'm not an emotional person." It's like, well, is anger an emotion? Yes, you're an emotional person. Friends, we must repent of sinful anger. We must ask God to help us to be slow to anger. And men, we are to lead the way in this. We're to lead our families in the slowness to anger in cultures of repentance in our home. Proverbs 19, 11. "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." I'm going to read that again. "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." Good sense, wisdom, understanding, spiritual maturity makes one slow to anger. And get that next part. It is his glory to overlook an offense. Glory speaks of weight. Like if you hear somebody who, man, when they speak, there's just a weight to it. Like it's meaningful. And you're like, oh, that's a weighty thing. That's really helpful. That's really good. That's glory. It is weighty. It's glorious to overlook an offense. It's weighty. It's a tool of the Spirit, not a tool of the flesh. It is the work of God in us. We cannot overlook offenses on our own. God has to be working in us. Why? Because ultimately this is all about God's glory. The weightiness and seriousness and joy we have in God. God, we want to obey you in this situation. So friends, when we are walking through conflict, it is not about winning the argument. It is not about getting the other person to see your viewpoint. It is not about being heard. It isn't even really about being slow to anger. It is about God's glory. Are we seeking God's glory in the conflict? God is glorified in his children walking out conflict with his wisdom, overlooking offenses, because we entrust those offenses to the Lord, letting God be the judge, not people, not us. We don't have to be the judge. God is a really good judge. Knowing that God says that justice is his to execute, not ours, so we can be slow to anger. We can play the long game in hard conflicts. So, church family, there are a lot of verses in Proverbs that tell us that our first instinct, our first impulse in conflict should be slowness. First impulse, slowness. We should be slow to anger. How are you doing with that? How's your first impulse in the midst of conflict? The text says that one who is slow to anger has great understanding and rules his spirit. Friends, when someone is getting angry and they're getting loud, or maybe they're in your face, you and I can actually de-escalate conflict by slowness, by softness of tone, by gentleness. Proverbs 15:1 says this: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Friends, God's word says that a wise person is slow to anger. They are thinking clearly. They're not going into flight, fight, or freeze. No, they are trusting God. And Proverbs says that they can quiet contention. Like you and I, by the Spirit of God and the power of God, can quiet contention with our slowness to anger. Last summer, my oldest daughter was living at home with us after she graduated from college. One afternoon, I was on a Zoom call. I went up to my bedroom to get on the Zoom call because I think kids were out playing and it was a little loud, so I was upstairs. Suddenly, the fire alarm goes off in the middle of the Zoom call. I think it was actually like a prayer meeting Zoom call, so it made it a little even more awkward. So fire alarm going off, and I hear yelling. Like, sometimes a fire alarm goes off because, like, someone burns the fries or whatever, and you're like, okay, it's fine. They'll wave it off, open some windows, we'll be fine. But there was yelling. I was like, uh-oh, there's something wrong. I run downstairs, and there in the bathroom, she's holding back the shower curtain. See, a friend of hers had made her a candle, so I didn't know this was a bad idea. She made her a candle with essential oils in the candle and potpourri in the candle. Well, if you light a candle, even if there's just a wick, and it has essential oils, oils burn. And so this becomes like a blowtorch candle. And she then puts it in the bathtub to put it out and turns the water on. Water and oil don't go well together. So there's like this of fire. So I run downstairs, she's holding the curtain, and I see a glow of fire in the bathroom, and she's like, get the fire extinguisher, get the fire extinguisher. So I run to the kitchen, get the fire extinguisher, and run in there, and with a little poof, just boop, gone. Everything de-escalates. Everything. Gone. It's all the trouble, all the fear, all the yelling, all the scary parts, gone. Friends, that's what being slow to anger does to a conflict. It takes the energy out of the fire. It takes the fuel out of the fire. Being slow to anger, being soft with our answers, it quiets contentions, Scripture says. Everything could be crazy, then poof, you show love toward that person. The person realizes that you love them. You're not trying to win the argument. You're trying to win their heart. You're trying to own your own sin in the midst of it, and you care about them. Friends, that serves. That's God's wisdom in a conflict. Proverbs 10:12 says this: hatred stirs up strife,
but love covers all offenses. Friends, this is maturity. This is spiritual maturity, to overlook an offense. Friends, what if we judged spiritual maturity not by how many times we made it on a Sunday morning to church or how many devotion times we got in a row, but what if we judged Christian maturity, spiritual maturity, by how often we were slow to anger or how often we overlook offenses? The only way we can overlook an offense or cover an offense is by having a greater love. A love for God, a love for other people. Jesus says that we are to bless and not curse. Proverbs 25:21 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. We are not called to vindicate ourselves. We are not called to execute justice. We are called to entrust ourselves to God and overlook what we can. We are called to be slow to anger. Well, why? Because God is slow to anger. God is merciful. God is loving. God is gracious. God is glorious. It glorifies God to be slow to anger. And friends, don't you feel your need for help as we're discussing this, as we're talking about this? We need help. We need outside help. You and I cannot like conjure this up. Okay, I'm going to be slow to anger today. Like, that's probably not going to work. We need the Holy Spirit's help. We need to ask God for His Spirit's help. Being slow to anger is rooted in Christ. Friends, though humanity rebelled against the Creator, when God describes Himself toward humanity, He says this, Exodus 34:6, The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He says that in Exodus 9 times in the Old Testament. This is the description of Yahweh. This is the description of your God. Jesus, then, God in the flesh, shows us this. Samuel was referring to much of it. Peter denies Jesus. Judas betrays Jesus. The religious leaders falsely accuse Jesus. Roman soldiers torture Jesus. And Jesus is on the cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. We need God. We need His help to be slow to anger. We need the Holy Spirit to shape us to be slow to anger. And before I move to the next point, I want us to make crystal clear, being slow to anger is the primary way Proverbs tells us to deal with conflict. Like, the primary way the book of Proverbs says, hey, you who want wisdom, here's how you deal with conflict. Be slow to anger. This is the primary tool. This is the saw for the carpenter, the socket wrench for the auto mechanic, the canvas for the artist, the samurai sword for the ninja, the putter for the golfer, you masters people. Like, this is the tool. If you don't have this tool, you do not have this skill. This is number one on how we handle conflict. We are to be slow to anger. The next skill that Proverbs points out in handling conflict is planning for peace. Planning for peace. That first point was the longest, just to let you know. Planning for peace. Look at Proverbs 12:20. It will be on the screen. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. I love that passage. Just as someone can devise evil and work really hard to con people or swindle people, think like the Ocean's 11 movies, like you're working really hard to con people. We are to plan for peace. We're to devise peace. How might I bring peace in this situation? How might I bless someone? How might we bring God's peace in the midst of a possible conflict? I think we can really practically think through this individually and as a church. Think on a small scale. Think in our homes. We can plan for peace by having a culture of encouragement, by pointing out where we see the grace of God in other people's lives, by having a culture of repentance. When we sin, not if you sin, when you sin, You're committed to reconcile, to quickly go, to be the first to repent, to be reconciled, to build trust, to build peace. We can use words to build up and not tear down. We can just even have a culture in our home that we're going to have fun and joke with one another, but we're not going to use joking as stabbing of truth or correction, right? That joking's really joking. We're not trying to use it as a manipulative tool. This is planning for peace. But we can broaden it out. We can plan for peace in the workplace. We can withhold from gossip. We can speak with love. We can speak with discretion. We can speak with care, talking about not talking about others. We can have integrity in our work. We can have honesty about expectations and give honest feedback. We can make sure we speak with charitability, handle conflicts with our first tool, being slow to anger. In Ken Sandy's excellent book called The Peacemaker, he talks about sometimes one of the ways we plan for peace is we actually have to have hard conversations with other believers. He says, here's the thing, we can be peace fakers, like you act like you have peace, but you actually don't. We can be peace breakers, where you're like, rah, and you're breaking everything, but the Lord calls us to be peacemakers. And most of us have a temptation either to be peace fakers or peace breakers. But by the Spirit, we can be peacemakers. In fact, biblical peacemaking is part of being a Christian. It's part of growing in maturity. And as members of Risen Hope, we have relational commitments as part of our membership that we make upon membership, and part of it has to do with biblical peacemaking. Let me read to you some of our commitments that you've signed off on if you're a member at Risen Hope. It'll be up there on the screen. The first one is this: whenever we are faced with conflict, our primary goal will be to glorify God with our thoughts, words, and actions. So our desire is to honor God. That's what we need to be thinking when we're in a conflict. Secondly, we will try to get the log out of our own eyes before focusing on what others may have done wrong. So we focus on our own hearts first. Third, we will seek to overlook minor offenses. Fourth, we will refrain from all gossip, backbiting, and slander. If we have a problem with others, we talk to them, not about them. That's massively important. Next, we make charitable judgments toward one another by believing the best about each other until we have facts that prove otherwise. Number six, if an offense is too serious to overlook, or if we think someone may have something against us, we will go promptly to seek reconciliation. Number seven, when we offer a word of correction to others, we will do so graciously and gently with the goal of serving and restoring them rather than beating them down. Number eight, when someone tries to correct us, we will ask God to help us resist prideful defensiveness and to welcome correction with humility. Number nine, when others repent, we will ask God to give us grace to forgive them as he has forgiven us. And the final one, number 10, when we discuss or negotiate substantive issues, we will look out for others' interests as well as our own. Friends, what this is doing, what that signing off on this as a church family does, is it's planning for peace. It's planning that we are going to work through issues, not if we have issues. We're a group of sinners, but when we have issues, we are to look at Scripture and take Scripture seriously. This is not easy, but this is good. God is for us in this. God holds up peace as something that is good, something to be desired, something to be cherished. Proverbs 17:1 says this, "Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." It's better to just have dry, nasty bread, but peace in your home, than abundance and strife in your home. Proverbs 3:2, speaking of wisdom, says, "For length of days and years of life and peace," talking about wisdom, "will add to you. Wisdom gives greater life and peace. Wisdom is personified as Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 3. It says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Pursue wisdom, church family, and you will walk out a life of more peace. You will entrust your life to Christ. You will be able to overlook offenses. You will not allow seeds of bitterness to take root. And friends, we all must guard from seeds of bitterness. You will be wronged by someone at some point. What do you do with that? Because if we don't uproot by the Spirit seeds of bitterness, it will harden our hearts and it will affect a whole bunch of people that we never wanted to affect. We've got to take out those seeds of bitterness. And friends, it takes much maturity to pursue peace, because it will be even pursuing people that we don't get along with. Look at Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Notice the goal here. Please the Lord. The goal is to please the Lord. Peace is not the goal. Pleasing the Lord is the goal. Being slow to anger is not the goal. Glorifying God is the goal. Friends, our aim is to honor Christ with our lives, honor Christ in our conflicts. If we keep our eyes on Christ, we will use the tools of the Spirit and not the tools of the flesh. But friends, we must be aware of the tools of the flesh when it comes to conflict, because we are capable. I think we're born and we're built in the tools of the flesh, right? You just get around like two siblings, like a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they start using the tools of the flesh very quickly, right? The one kid punches the other kid, then blames that kid for, yeah. My brother used to do that to me all the time. He's 2.5 years older than me. He would run at me with his arm out and be like, he ran into my fist. I didn't punch him. Tool of the flesh, right? Don't use that. Don't tell your kids that. That was an evil Levi. I see that. Don't do it. He's like, I'm going to start using that. I didn't punch him. Here's the last point. We need to be aware of strife stirring. Be aware of stirring up strife. When conflict is mentioned in Proverbs, it speaks of paths of wisdom and paths of foolishness. And one of the main ideas of the path of foolishness when dealing with conflict is stirring up strife. Conflicts don't happen on their own. They don't just appear. It takes people to form them. If they are stirred up. Proverbs 29:22 says this, a man of wrath stirs up strife. The one given to anger causes much transgression. Proverbs 30, verse 33 says, this is an interesting one, for pressing milk produces curds, pressing the nose produces blood, pressing anger produces strife. The pressing, that's stirring up strife. James, the Proverbs of the New Testament tells us that anger and strife come from our hearts. Someone does not make you angry. The anger was already in there. The sinful anger is already in there. Anger was already inside us. It's what comes out. And James 4, verse 1 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Friends, when we feel like we're boiling, when it's coming up toward our spouse or kids or neighbors or coworkers or whatever, it's stuff that's already in here that God wants to get at even now while we're maybe not angry. So how do we know whether we're a fool when it comes to anger and conflict? There's a few things that Proverbs clearly shows. A fool is quick to speak. A fool is quick to speak. Nick did a whole message on this, so I'm not spending a lot of time on it, but a fool is quick to speak. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. If we are willing to quickly talk, if we are willing to air out all our grievances, we are a fool, according to Scripture. If you want to see foolishness, just get on social media. You will see lots of it. People airing their grievances. We are to be slow to anger. We are to be slow to speak. Proverbs 12:16 says, "The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult." When a fool is angry, everyone knows about it. They're not willing to ignore an insult. They harbor insults. They're going to pay back the insult that they feel is against them. Friends, how are we doing here? Have we asked the Spirit to help us identify patterns of when we are more tempted toward anger toward others? When are the moments when you're more tempted to give full vent to your anger? And don't act like you don't have them, because we all have them. Just ask your spouse or kids or roommates. Like, people that are around you know the buttons. Maybe you're tired, or when you're hungry, or when you haven't been in God's word for a while. Friends, God is for us in battling anger and resting in him. God helps us be slow to speak, even when we feel our blood starting to boil. Someone insults us at work or in the neighborhood. God is for us. And Proverbs goes even further. Proverbs warns us to not even hang out with these type of people. Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25 says this: "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." Friends, we must be careful if we are befriending the fool, if we're befriending the angry person, the person whose vexation is known immediately. We will become whom we befriend. Proverbs says that over and over. And church family, who do we want to befriend? We want to befriend Christ. Ultimately, we want to befriend Christ. We want Christ's influence to be the biggest part of our lives. Let me give you one last verse of warning that comes about stirring up strife. It's a warning not just about our conflicts. That's primarily what I've been talking about today. But this is a fascinating verse. It's about meddling in other people's conflicts. Look at Proverbs 26:17. "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ear." Isn't that interesting? Recently, my wife and I like to walk around our neighborhood, and there's a lady who had knee surgery. Her dog got out, and so she was like, "Hey, can you help me?" So I go up by the dog to get the dog to try to get it. I wasn't like trying to grab the ear. I was trying to grab the whole dog, and I got bit. Like, I was like, "Ow!" And she's like, "Sorry." You know, I'm like, "I'm about to kick your dog," but I didn't know what to do. So, friends, if we're meddling in the quarrels that aren't our own, whether it's neighbors, whether it's coworkers, whether it's family members, and it's not your lane. Friends, there are many things about spiritual maturity that you learn to stay in your lane. There are many issues that are not your issues and you don't need to know. Social media teaches us you need to know everything. That is sinful. You are not God, and God's really good at taking care of all those other areas. Friends, it's part of spiritual maturity is saying, "You know what, I think there's maybe a conflict over there. I'm going to pray for them at a distance because I don't need to know all that." "Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears." Friends, we want to be those who don't need to know everything, but we pray about everything. We entrust it to God. Friends, today we've considered that we are going to have conflicts. But God, through Proverbs, gives us tools to honor him in the midst of conflicts. Be slow to anger, plan for peace, and don't stir up strife. This is the wisdom from God, and this is enabled by God. Those who have trusted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit to walk this out. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't be slow to anger. Like, you can try, but you don't have the Spirit to help you. Friends, if you don't know Jesus, that's the first thing you need to learn about conflict. You need the one who is the Prince of Peace, and trust him as your Savior. And we'd love to talk to you more about a relationship with Jesus. But friends, we desire to honor God in our relationships. So we're going to end this way.
we're going to have some time of prayer. First, we're going to sing, and then I just want to encourage you to receive prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask people to raise their hands and people gather around them. This is one of those areas, like, you want to pray with somebody you know or you've met before, probably. If you're new here, you can dive in with somebody you don't know. But we would love to just pray for one another. Let me just give you some categories as we just cast our cares on the Lord. Christopher, you can come on up. Let me give you some categories. There may be some young dads and moms here, and you are exhausted from changing diapers, getting kids to bed, having no free time, and you feel like your heart's been boiling over. It may be wise today to ask some older parents to come alongside you and just pray over you because they remember those moments. You may be a child or teenager and you know you've actually been really angry lately. It's time to repent to the Lord and repent to those who have been affected by you. Ask God to help you. Take time to receive prayer. Friends, you may be a man who's wrestled with anger for years, and God wants today to be a massive breakthrough for you as you receive prayer from other brothers. You may be one who's realizing you've harbored bitterness toward a friend or a spouse or someone in your church family, and today the Lord wants to release you, to help you overlook offenses, to rest in Christ. You may be walking through family conflict, either your immediate family or extended family, and you need to receive prayer that God is for you in this long conflict you've been walking out. You may be praying about how to plan for peace in certain situations, and God wants you to receive prayer today to be slow to anger. Friends, we need God. We need God desperately to learn how to be slow to anger. We need help through the prayers of brothers and sisters in Christ. James 1 says and reminds us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We need the righteousness of Christ to help us as we pray and as we seek his perspective. We entrust him with these conflicts. So let's stand together and let's sing and make this song our prayer, and then let's ask for others to pray for us. I'll lead us through that in a few minutes. It says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Here's what we put on: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.